Good evening and welcome to Art Waves on WKCR FM New York, 89.9 FM on the dial and WKCR.org on the net. The hour is just past 9 o'clock and this is your host, Anne Kamen. We have an all-fiction show lined up for you tonight as we're featuring the First Line Literary Magazine. Founded almost 10 years ago by David LeBounty and Jeff Adams, and continually supported with the help of David's wife, Robin LeBounty, The First Line is a unique literary magazine in that each story in a given issue begins with the same first line. Helping us with the reading and acting out of roles in the stories tonight are actors Doug Shapiro, Alexandra D'Souza, and Tim Montoya. We are also coupling the stories with selections from electronic composer David Hahn's work. We will be joined on air by the First Line editor David LeBounty in just a few minutes. Our first story tonight is Downstream, read by Doug Shapiro and Alexandra D'Souza.
L.D. Todd, Downstream. That was the best game we've ever had.
The kids aren't here. You can call it sex,
Sandy tells me. I was making a joke, I remind her as I go to check my email.
Can't you leave that thing alone for 5 seconds?
She's in a pissy mood. I think we were playing the game for at least seconds, I tell her.
Not much more.
This is us at an odd time. Not that we don't fight much. We're old pros at that. It's the sex we normally forego. When her kids aren't spending time with their dad, they're here. All four of them. This is why we have to call sex the game. Now, I guess there's some rapper out there with the same name, but Sandy doesn't know that, and I don't feel like explaining it to her. Visits to Sandy's trailer used to be only about the game. Now I can't seem to leave. I look back at her while she's fishing for a lighter underneath the futon, and I wonder how I ever found her attractive. Even naked, she looks armored, reserved. Do you want me to make you some coffee? Maybe fix you a snack? I prod her with kindness because I know she hates it. She stops looking for a lighter and looks up at me. Only the glow from the computer monitor details the room, but it's enough to see her sneer.
Fondue,
she says. This is not her way of asking that I prepare a snack. Fondue is just another one of our code words. Words we use the majority of the time because we're two bitter adults in a trailer full of impressionable children. Fondue means go to hell. It means kiss my ass or bite me or a number of other obscenities that the children would adopt at only one mentioning, one slip of the code. I was just asking, I tell her. But she knows when I'm patronizing. We have another code word. It's one I proposed during happier times as a joke. We were lying in bed after we'd played the game a couple times, and neither one of us was thinking the other should fondue. It was just one of those things you say so the other person acts surprised or angry or hurt. Something you say to make them show that they care. Well, we should have a word for I'm leaving you, don't you think? We had been facing each other, but she rolled over and hit me in the stomach with a playful elbow.
That's a horrible thing to say,
she told me. And this is the reaction I was hoping for. At least back then. I was only kidding. I mean, that's something we would have to explain to the kids, wouldn't we? If I were going to leave?
Not really,
she said, to my surprise.
I don't ever want you to go. But I don't think we'd let the kids know anything about it. Maybe we should have a word for it.
I rolled over so our backs were facing each other, both of us looking at the plastic walls of the bedroom that swam somewhere between yellow and orange with the flickers of candlelight.
Salmon,
she moaned. Yeah?
I didn't say Sam, I said salmon. That should be the word.
Why salmon?
They leave everything to go back to where they came from, even if it means they do nothing but die there or die on the way there.
Okay, I told her. But I'll never say it. That was then. Now the word hangs on the end of my tongue like a lifesaver that just won't dissolve. I'm playing solitaire as she smokes. I can't seem to turn around and face her. I hear her suck and blow, yawn and cough. Maybe I'm waiting to hear her hand pat the sheets beside her, like she used to do when she wanted me in bed and off the computer. When she wanted to play the game more than once a month, even if it meant going real slow and quiet so the kids wouldn't hear. Now when their father comes for his monthly visit, she greets him in a robe, blows smoke in his face, and acts like she wishes he were dead. But the moment she closes the door, she wants to play the game. Lately, it's felt mandatory for both of us. Something we're supposed to do, though we'd rather not. The final word, the potential end to the game, sits in my throat and blocks my air. Well, that and Sandy's cigarette smoke, which hangs forever around the room because the trailer has no circulation. I read the news. I watch movie previews. I play Hearts online. And then it comes. The soft pat on the sheets. I turn slowly to make sure I wasn't imagining it. I peek from the corner of my eye because I don't want her thinking I mean to look at her unless she does something to reconcile her attitude, to open herself up. I see that she has rolled onto her side and has the top sheet covering her legs. She holds the sheets open for me, affirming her beckon by a jerk of her head toward her. I smile for the first time in months, crawl under the sheet, and wrap myself around her.
"Sam,"
she says, in a voice that reminds me of the old Sandy. My heart flutters and tears begin to form under my eyes. "Yes, my love?"
"I didn't say Sam,"
she tells me.
"I said salmon."